Hey gang, welcome back you guys. Matt here, episode 82 of Zero Carb Journal. How about that? Well, good morning you guys, Sunday morning. It's just coming up on 7 o'clock, about quarter till here on a Sunday morning. And what a morning, huh? It's beautiful. So, how are you guys? Did you have a good week? Excuse me while I itch. I had a great week. I just woke up, so I'm a little groggy as usual. But I'm doing great, and I hope you guys are too. So let's see, my week. My week's been awesome, you guys. I had another really good one. Boy, what happened this week? Let's see. From a non-zero carb perspective, I had a great week. I got a lot done. I got in there on Monday and pretty much, I think, wrapped up that boat. It's still sitting down there. They're waiting for some new props and stuff, but I think electrically it's all done, and I'm going to send them an invoice tomorrow, and we'll see if they call me back, but I think that that's probably the last bit of work I'm going to do on that boat for this season. So that felt great. So that was Monday, or no, maybe it was Tuesday. No, I think it was Monday. And so then I continued to work and finish up my stove, my oven project that I've been working on all week, my last stove that I've been wanting to do. Did that Tuesday, and then Wednesday I went surfing, which was great, and I felt really good out there. Had a wonderful day, ran into some friends, that was nice. And then the rest of the week I just came back from the beach, and then the rest of the week I just settled in and I worked on trying to wrap up this last stove oven build that I've had hanging over me for a while. It's just been in my head, and I've been making new plans, and yeah, so it represented a lot of work. There was a lot of warm, you know, run up to it of me doing all the plans and stuff. And anyways, I got it done. Big checklist off my list. I haven't actually launched that video yet. I'm going to go click public on it right when we're done here. So you guys might be watching it while this one uploads. But anyways, that is a huge move forward for me. So I had a few things I wanted to do. When I got done with that boat work, the pond, wanted to finish that. It's done. My new stove oven, it's done. Got some firewood to get, but I realized that it's getting late in the season and I'm not going to get as much up as I wanted to. So at the end of last week, I put in an order for some. So I'm going to have a couple cords delivered sometime and I'll get to stack those, but that'll be a lot easier than going and cutting down trees. So I am moving through my summer list, and that's what's got me feeling so good and making this week such a great week, is that I stayed real focused on my goals, and I have been pushing really hard to get a clear schedule, and that is just now showing up. So yesterday was a long day. I worked on that video for a long time, and so I'm really just kind of getting here. So last night, I started looking at travel plans and thinking about what I'm going to do next. And my current plan is probably, like I told you last week, I think I'm going to hang out here through the summer, at least out into September, because it's just so nice here. I don't know where else I'd want to be. And I sure hate missing summer. And I'd like to do my traveling away from here during the winter when it's pretty miserable in my little shack. So I'm trying to wait, so I'm just thinking I'm just going to sit tight and make some plans and then hopefully do some traveling this fall. So I've got a few months here of settling in. I've got a little more work, actually. I said that I wasn't going to take much more, but I've had a few more. Couple design jobs and just a small wiring job come across my desk, so I think I'm going to do a few more jobs over the next few weeks. And just kind of fill up the coffers a little more. But yeah, I think I'm just going to be cruising through the summer here and then getting ready to travel. So that's my current plan. And I hope you guys have good plans. Love to hear about them. So that's that. And that's got me feeling pretty good. My sort of trajectory forward here and my goals. But let's talk about zero carb, because I had a really good week from a zero-carb standpoint. So here we are in the beginning of July, and so that's about 2.5 years of zero-carb for me. And what do you guys know? I'm still learning. How about that, huh? So as you guys know, I've tried to reduce some of my meal size. I stopped eating my huge piles of hamburgers a few weeks ago, and that seems to have been good for me. So trying to stick to that. It does get a little tough sometimes. It can be hard to find fatty enough meat unless I just buy the most expensive ribeye. And so I've been, you know, kind of bouncing back and forth between ribeye and a little bit of hamburger. I had some fish. What else? I'm kind of forgetting. Oh, I know what I wanted to say. So I've been buying some bacon, which I've talked about quite a bit over the last few months, it seems like, because it seems like I've sort of put that kind of regularly back in rotation. And I always say I'm not going to put it in rotation, and then it sort of ends up there. But I have been eating bacon fairly regularly. I probably ate a couple packs this week. And it does. It continues to have some noticeable effects on me. I have a little bit more. I end up using the restroom maybe a couple times that day, you know, not every time, but after I've been eating bacon, it seems to build up on me, and I get a little less regular, I guess. And things look a little different. I'm a little looser, as it were, and but it's not bad. It doesn't bother me. My stomach doesn't, it makes a little bit of noise when I eat bacon, but it doesn't hurt. And I really like it, and I've been feeling like the fat is really helpful. So I've been eating some bacon when things have been feeling lean. And I think, I know what else. I ate some goat cheese this week. I ate a whole pack of Chivri, and you know what, you guys, it felt fine. So it seems like as I go down this path, it does definitely seem like there's a difference between goat and cow's cheese. So every time I've eaten cow's cheese, the following day I've had real bad stomach pains, real slow moving digestive system. It takes a while, and I end up not using the restroom and then using it a lot. Whereas the goat cheese doesn't seem to have any of those repercussions. So that was pretty cool. I was in Walmart actually looking for a brisket because I built my oven and I haven't cooked a brisket for a long time, and they're kind of expensive at the regular stores. Walmart had them for $2.69 a pound, I think. So I went there to get one. And as I was walking out, I walked by the cheese island, and they had that Chivri there. And I looked at the ingredients, and what do you know? Walmart had the cheese I found with the least ingredients. It was literally just goat's milk and salt and some enzymes. And so that was pretty encouraging. So I bought that. It was really great. I made some little bacon-wrapped hamburger bombs stuffed with Chivri, and I loved them. So I ate the cheese and felt pretty good. So how about that? There's something new. And that was cool because that had allowed me to, well, that Chivri just, you know, it's just so creamy. It really allowed me to add some fatty bites to some otherwise fairly lean meals. So that was pretty neat to learn. I think I'm going to continue to do that. Probably not terribly often, but maybe once a week or every few weeks. So that was cool. And then that brings me back to meat and meat quality and stuff like that. So as you guys know, I've been bouncing around quite a bit, buying my meat from different places, trying to suss out quality differences. And it seems like my inexpensive store, buying ribeye there, it seems like I think I finally hit the wall. I must have gotten lucky that one time with the IPB ribeye that I bought there, because now all I can find is the Mexican-grown ribeye. And you know, I go in there looking for that big white end on the end of the ribeye and a big white fat cap. And those cryovacs I'm finding of that lower quality meat, they just have, I mean, maybe 10% of the fat that a choice ribeye has, let alone a prime. So I called Costco yesterday and just tried to figure out, you know, how I can get a handle on their pricing. They're a little ways away from me. It takes me 45 minutes to get there. So it's a good little trip to go there. So I don't really want to be making special trips. So, you know, normally I'm checking the pricing at Safeway and the prices at my inexpensive store, and I'm kind of evaluating what I'm going to do. So I wondered if I could do that with Costco. Well, they don't. I called and asked, and they don't have local warehouse meat pricing. They do have some online meat, but boy, it's real expensive. It's all the Wagyu and things like that. So Wagyu? I don't know how you say that. So at any rate, what I found out, though, was that they don't do like hot sheets on their standard meat counter items. So for instance, they, for the most part, only stock boneless rib packers as opposed to bone-in, which the Safeway and my SARS inexpensive store, those are always bone-in for the most part. There's a hummingbird. So they only do boneless, so that represents a little bit of a savings right there if the price is, you know, $8 there for boneless and $6 at the other place for bone-in. It's probably about a wash, actually, because the bones weigh so much. You got 7 bones in a rib. So at any rate, what he told me was they don't do specials. They don't have a way to tell sheets, but they're happy to tell you, or to tell prices, but they're happy to tell you on the phone. And it sounds like that boneless choice in my local store has been $8.89 for months. And they've got prime for, I think it was $14. I think it was $14. Anyways, so that represents at $9 a pound. That represents, you know, $150 probably for a cryovac. But as opposed to $60 at my inexpensive store and maybe $110 at Safeway. Actually, Safeway is about the same as Costco, and it's select at best usually, unless they say choice, and then it's usually more expensive. So anyways, this is a long way of saying that I think I'm going to start buying, going to Costco and making that special trip and buying those ribeyes because of the fat cap, because I think I can get the fat up and then maybe eat less, as I've been doing. So I have found that as I go into the leaner stuff, I get hungry and then I go back to a real big meal. So anyways, I'm going to continue to keep experimenting with that. That's been real interesting for me. As you guys know, I don't do well on a lot of fat. But it does seem like I'm okay if I just eat a higher ratio of fat, but a smaller meal, and I do that regularly. In other words, not trying to do one meal a day, which my digestive system just can't seem to handle that much fat at one time. So that's been interesting. So I'm going to go out to Costco maybe today, maybe tomorrow, we'll see, and get a new one. And I'll keep you guys posted on that, a new ribeye. I'll keep you posted on that. I think it's probably going to be a good way for me to move forward from here. I'm just finding that none of the hamburger is really very satisfying anymore. So I guess I'm changing, maybe leaning towards more fatty as I get farther down the road here. I don't know. We'll see. That'd be great. So anyways, that's that. So yeah, the addition of some cheese, a little more fat, a little less food. I'm feeling good, you guys. I didn't have a sick day all week. Had great energy. I got a ton done. I did wear myself all the way out. I'm still real susceptible to fatigue. So I did have 2 hard workouts this week. I've been trying to get back to 3 workouts. And I'm not sure if I'm just getting weaker. I don't think that's possible, or getting less endurance. I don't think that's the case. But I hit the wall this week. It was Thursday after I went surfing, and I'm pretty sure I know why it was. I mean, surfing usually alone just takes it out of me, but I have been going really full tilt on these projects that are both masonry projects here for 3 weeks now. I built that pond, completely beat myself up, and then I just did that brick oven, and that was days and days of moving bricks and bags of sand and mixing mortar and laying bricks and squatting down and picking heavy things. And then I went surfing, and I've been pushing to do all these things pretty hard, so I'm pushing myself pretty hard. So yeah, Thursday I just hit the wall, and I didn't get depressed. You know, that's different. The old depression is different than the new downs, you know, the lows that I experience now when I'm real tired, and I can just recognize it. I'm just a crabby 3-year-old. So that was Thursday, and I just knew it. I was just crabby. Nothing was going well. So I rested, and then Saturday put that video together and got that wrapped up. So yeah, it's been a great week. Some ups and downs, some more learning and moving forward, but I consider that progress. So there you go. So I want to talk about one more thing real quick. I got a lovely message last week from Lori LaFond, and thank you, Lori, for asking that question. And Lori's question was regarding my travel and how I've been talking about having a desire to travel. And she conveyed that she lives in a place much like mine, you know, a place that I'll speak for myself. You know, I'm here where I feel the most comfortable and where I have been able to set a routine for myself where I'm pretty insulated, you know, honestly. If it's a bit of a safe space in the sense that I'm insulated from, you know, a lot of what goes on out there in the world. I don't see traffic and I don't see crowding and, you know, busy cities and homelessness and, you know, it's fairly inexpensive out here. And, you know, for the most part, it's a little bit of a fantasy world in a lot of ways. But I'm very comfortable here and I can stick to my routine. And that routine, as you guys know, as I've talked about over the last few weeks, has really been my lifeline. It's really what I believe got me back on track and has allowed me to, you know, become strong again. You know, 4 years ago, I just felt overwhelmed by life. Felt like I was just getting buried and slipping backwards, and I didn't think I was going to be able to carry it all anymore, and that I wasn't going to keep up. And so the routine was a big part of me reversing those feelings and feeling like I'm in control again and feeling, you know, happy and healthy and all that. And so being home, being able to stick to that routine has been really important to me. And I know, you know, that was a big part of wanting to go out on the road last year. So I want to, you know, Lori said, I live somewhere as well where I feel comfortable and I, you know, for me, I stay home because I love it here. And when I think about going out in my town, you know, I should go out and meet people or put myself out there or whatever. It's hard for me because I think, what do I want to do? And really, I would rather be here. I have more ways to progress personally when I stay here, because I do. I just have given myself a lot of goals, a lot of tasks, a lot of challenges, and things I can do, things I can focus on. And that's been, you know, that's been decades now since I moved in here. It's not decades, it's almost two decades. But, you know, one of the things I always talked about was finding my passions here and not needing to drive around to go find something to do, to feel engaged or whatever, you know, to not feel like I was wasting my life. I used to just always want to be somewhere else, always want to be where the surf was or where the snow was better, and never satisfied here. I was always packing for the next thing, and, you know, if I was stuck at home, I was freaking out. And so I made a conscious effort to reverse that and to learn to really love to stay here, and I've done a great job of that. So Lori asked, you know, why do you want to travel? And I thought that was a really great question, and it really made me sort of look internally and ask myself that same question. And the answer is, there's a few reasons for it, but I think if I'm totally honest, the most compelling reason is that I'm lonely. And I'm honestly terribly lonely. I, you know, if there's anything in my life that bothers me, I am sad to be alone all the time. So I've had some wonderful partners in my life, and I miss that. I do. And I am not excited about the idea of, you know, never having found a partner and being 50 here and going on for the next 20 years or 30 years or whatever alone. So it's something that I'll be fine. I'm good at it if that's how it goes. And I'm pretty durable. And I haven't talked about this much because it's been a year or whatever before since I talked about feeling like that much. And the reason I don't talk about it much is because it's not something I feel like I can fix. I had it on my goal list, and you know, you can't. It's not something you can do on your own. Sure, you can go out, but you know how it goes, you guys. All of that stuff. It's, if you're looking, you look desperate. I think it's harder if you're a guy, or worse if you're a guy. And, you know, all the advice and everything that's ever worked for me is just try and be as happy as you can, follow your passions, be who you are. And those things, if they're going to happen, are going to happen. So, you know, I've been working real hard to stay focused on myself, become as good as I can, stay engaged in my passions, go surfing, you know, stay alive and full of life and vibrant, and just hope that that's enough to attract someone compatible to me. But I realize that, one, they're probably not going to come walking out of the woods here, since I don't see another human when I'm at home. And two, I haven't felt any value in actively trying to change that while I'm home. When I leave the house during the day, I go to the store and I go or wander around town a little bit, maybe go down to the boat docks. And I haven't talked to another person in years doing any of that, except for the cashiers and stuff like that. So I just doesn't seem realistic that I'm going to meet somebody. And then I think about going out at night, and every time I do, well, I tried one time, as you guys know, a couple weeks ago, and I got turned off by my guts. I tried to eat a hamburger and it was terrible, and, you know, I got sick. And then I wonder, you know, who I'm going to meet at a bar locally or whatever. It just doesn't seem very appealing, and it's not what I want to do. That's not where I want to be. You know, I'm only there to try and put myself into a position of meeting someone, and that doesn't feel very genuine, to be honest. And it doesn't feel like how I'm going to run into someone who has the same interests, because why would they be there? Because I don't want to be there. It's the last place I want to be. So anyways, so with regards to traveling, you know, I have to be honest, that's a big part of it. I need to put myself out there in the world if this situation is ever going to change. Otherwise, I will be here for the next 40 years and I'll die alone. And I'm okay with that. But I don't think I'm okay with not finding out if that's, you know, if it's possible to change that. I know it won't change if I stay here. So that's a big part of it, Lori. I have to be honest. I'm lonely. And I want to go out there in the world and meet other people. Now, that's like pretty deep, and coming from deep inside. There's a lot more to wanting to travel, and there's a lot more to wanting to meet people too than just searching for a partner, as it were. My loneliness feels a lot better when I just go out there and talk to anybody. So I don't necessarily need, or I'm not necessarily, you know, it's not necessarily about finding a romantic partner as much as it is going out there and putting myself in a position to socialize. I need it. I recognize that I need it. It's been a long time. You know, honestly, you guys, I've been stuck here by myself for, I think it's going on like 6 or 7 years now, with the exception of that short 6-week window 2 years ago now. And boy, it's hard. I'm not going to lie. I feel like the farther I go, the less possible it will ever be to connect with someone, because I'm just so used to being alone. I'm forgetting how to interact with people. And even just, not like I say romantically, but even just day to day. You know, I know that most people spend their time with other humans, so yeah, I feel, honestly, it feels like I'm broken or less good, or I have not as good as all of you folks who somehow have other people around them. I feel like there must be something wrong with me, or I did something wrong. So yeah, that eats at me. Okay, so enough about that. The rest of traveling. So yeah, so socializing, meeting other people in other parts of the world. And then the next biggest step is, like I said, for me to not feel stuck here. From another standpoint, is the challenge of this way of eating. You know, it does kind of make me feel stuck here in some ways. Not completely stuck here. There's certain things I can do and certain places I can go that I feel like no problem. I now know I can jump in my car and drive around this country without issue. I could certainly go to Canada and visit them. And I feel like I could probably go down to Mexico and do pretty well as well. But what about when I get on a plane and go somewhere with a totally different culture? How am I going to do on that plane ride? How am I going to do navigating airports and the traveling legs? And then one of the biggest ones is that a lot of the things I like to do, surfing, vacations, and other adventurous vacations like that, a lot of them are often group travels or camp-type setups or resorts, you know, where you go somewhere and it's all-inclusive, right, where the meals are included and you're real remote, you're at a remote island where there's surf or something like that, and you stay for 7 days and surf every day. And I did that in 1995, I guess. I went to Indonesia and went to both Bali and Java. Well, I went to quite a few islands, but on Java I went to a surf camp, stayed there for quite a while, and then we went on a boat trip on a surf charter boat for 10 days or something. And they have omelets in the morning and big plates of fruit in the afternoon. And so one of the things I'm wondering about is, are those opportunities still possible for me, or is that door closed? You know, can I go on these, you know, when surfers get old and start to get more financially, some people have more money when they're younger, but whatever, most older surfers go on these real luxurious kind of old guy yacht trips where you just sort of hang out, you don't have to do all the work, you just go surf, and they're real expensive, they're a real luxury, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 a week or something like that, but they kind of represent a dream that's almost impossible to achieve any other way without incredible hardship and overland journeys and safaris and things like that. You know, surfers have just found their way to every little nook and cranny in the world. So the only way you can get your, you know, private perfection is to pay for it. And I don't know if that's an option for me, and I really would like to find that out. And that's just an example. So that really serves as a nice little microcosm of an example of, I mean, even something as simple as a trip to Italy, which I've always, you know, the Mediterranean in general, Greece really more than Italy. I loved reading Zorba the Greek when I was younger, and I love sailing and books about sailing around the islands there and the culture in Greece and around the Mediterranean, and I've just always really been fascinated by it. And so I'd love to go travel around there, and I'm sure I'd be fine. You know, I'm sure plenty of you are going to be laughing because, you know, you have jobs that you travel with or, you know, have the ability to travel more than I do, and I see carnivores traveling all the time, so I know it's possible. But I'm also a little more sensitive than, you know, Dr. Baker, for instance, who can just power down ribeye and go wherever he wants and eat. You know, eat at restaurants with friends without worrying about contamination, I guess it were, cross-contamination. So I worry about that. You know, can I go on a bus tour of Greece or whatever, and wherever it stops, will I be able to find food? And if I'm out there for a month, am I going to be slowly deteriorating that whole time and getting hungrier and hungrier from not being able to find fatty enough meat or whatever it might be? So I'm real curious about just the nuts and bolts of it. I wonder if I can travel. I wonder what options are available to me. You know, obviously, you know, they're all kind of there, and I can dive in and try any of them. The worst case scenario is I'm going to eat some rice or whatever for a few weeks, and I probably will not feel that great, and it won't be the end of the world, I'm sure. But I'm curious, and I would like to know how it goes, and I would like to go. See. And so there's another part of that too, and another part of traveling, Lori, and I just sort of thought of it, and it is less about the nuts and bolts of what's possible and more about how I feel about how weird I am. So when I talk about whether those things are possible, you know, that's a reflection of me recognizing that I'm unique, different from all those other people in the airport. You know, they can all go get their soda and whatever, banana. And here I am, you know, with such a restrictive diet. Now, of course, people have it way worse. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying part of it is that I feel very strange and I feel very alienated from, you know, the rest of society in a lot of ways. And so when I go out and when I'm here alone, I just reinforce that. And when I go out and travel, that feeling starts to fade away. You know, just that 2 weeks I did on the road in California, I stopped feeling that way, or at least largely, because I was going to cafes and I was sitting and spending time, you know, catching up on the internet in Starbucks, drinking a decaf, and going to a restaurant and eating a steak or some hamburgers, and just sort of getting out in the world and interacting. I mean, we all have our idiosyncrasies and our special orders at restaurants and the things we like and don't like and can't eat. And so I'm not sure why this sort of feels so differently. But I really kind of beat myself up when I'm home alone about the idea of being so different. You know, I tell myself I'm so different from everyone else out there and I'll never fit in and I'll always be alone. And I got to work on that internal dialogue, because that's one of the things I know from years ago that made a big difference, is working on my internal monologue and making sure that I, you know, that I encourage myself and reinforce my positive, you know, build myself up rather than tear myself down. So I need to do better at that. But with regards to traveling, I think those are probably the biggest reasons, and I haven't even touched on just sort of the real human adventure, wanting to see the world, see how other cultures live, and just shaking up my comfort zone. And I've always been an adventurer. You know, I spent a decade on the road, and I traveled quite a bit, and I always was most comfortable driving around in my vans and campers. And I'd like to go vagabonding. I'd just like to get out there and blow where the wind takes me for a little while. Just from, with no zero carb input, you know, just from a real, you know, deep standpoint of who I am. I think that that's adventure has always been important to me, I guess. So anyways, that's sort of the long answer. I tried, hopefully that answers your question. I don't know if it, I mean, honestly, this is, I don't know the answer to that why travel question. And so your question was great. I loved it, Lori. Thank you. It made me really think a lot about, you know, what my motivations were and how I've been feeling. And I had to be honest with myself about being lonely. I sit here and I fool myself all for, you know, the last couple of years. I just, oh, I'm fine. I'm don't need anything else. Well, that's 90% true, but I do need something else, and it is something that I'm not satisfied with my life, and it does cause me pain, you know, or whatever. I don't know how you say it. Pain seems like a strong word, but it bothers me regularly. So I guess I got to work on it. And like I said, it's not something you really work on alone, but I can better my chances, right? So anyways, enough about that. I've been talking for a long time. It's 7:15 now. Gosh, what a beautiful morning, huh, you guys? So aside from all that, I'm actually doing great, and I've been focused strongly on staying here and being in the moment. And as I move into this next phase, now that I've kind of got these big projects behind me, I'm really looking forward to continuing to focus on my daily meditations of just sort of being here now, staying in the moment, and staying happy and content with what I have, with where I am. And I'm not going to get too excited about that, you know, needing to go out or anything like that. I am going to do some traveling. I'm going to plan for it. But in the meantime, I'm also going to be here now, stay positive, and just be, I mean, what more could I ask for? Just someone here to share this with me, I guess, is about it. But barring that, I'm pretty darn happy. And I've definitely also experienced sharing my life with the wrong person, and this is better than that. So all good. I'm in a great place, you guys. I'd much rather, you know, well, none of that matters. Anyways, that's that. I think I'm gonna go get on with my day. I'm gonna go click public on my Bro Audio brick oven video. So go check that one out if you haven't seen it. And yeah. So anyways, I hope you guys are doing great. I hope you guys are making some progress. Hope you're having a really good week. I hope Zero Carb has been good to you. And as always, you guys, I can't thank you enough for this time that we share every week. Your comments, your questions, your support, it means so much to me. As you can tell, those comments from you guys, they do. They mean so much. They get me thinking, and they make me understand that I'm not alone and that there's others out there having the same questions and going through some of the same stuff. And I really appreciate that. And I want to give a big shout out to Marna in Portland. Thanks so much, Marna, for your lovely support this week. That was very nice. And Lisa Sanders as well in Ohio. Hope you're doing great in the carnival season. And all of you folks who comment so regularly. I can't tell you how much you all mean to me. I could sit here and list all your names. I think you know who you are. Thanks, you guys. Sincerely, thank you. So, okay, I'm going to go. Keep saying that. And I don't know what I'm going to get into, but it's going to be a great week, and I promise you I will share it with you next week. I'm going to try, now that I've got my oven video done, I'm kind of, you know, we'll see. I'm going to hopefully try and bring cameras with me a little more and share a little more of my day-to-day with you as we go forward here. So we'll see if I'm successful at that. But hope you guys have an excellent week. I hope you make some progress. Stay the course. And thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Alrighty, you guys. I'll see you next week. Thanks so much. See ya.